And now, the final concluding verses of Suratul Baqarah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. Whether you show what is within yourselves or conceal it, Allah will bring you to account for it. Then He will forgive whom He wills and punish whom He wills. And Allah is over all things competent. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that when this verse was revealed, that whether you disclose what is in yourselves or you conceal it, then Allah will call you to account for it. There entered in the minds of the companions a fear that had never entered their minds and hearts before. Meaning, the companions became very afraid that how can we have control over what is in our hearts? If we are held accountable for what is in the heart, then we will be doomed. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَسَلَّمْنَا, that we have heard and we have obeyed and we have submitted ourselves. So Ibn Abbas said, on this, Allah filled their hearts with iman. Because when a person hears a command of Allah, whether it is related to charity or interest or anything else, and he says in his heart, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَسَلَّمْنَا, that, O Allah, now I have come to know of this, and I have made the intention, I will obey you, I submit to you, I will not resist, I will do this, then Allah will fill the heart of such a person with iman. And so what happened? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the next two verses, which are the last two verses of Suratul Baqarah. And remember, these two verses, like Suratul Fatiha, are from a treasure trove beneath the throne of Allah. And a person does not recite any word of these verses except that they are benefited because of them. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged us to recite them. He said, اقرأ, recite al-ayatayn min akhir surah al-Baqarah. Recite the last two verses of Surah al-Baqarah. These two verses are so powerful that if a person recites them in the night, then kafatahu, they will suffice him. Meaning they will be enough for his protection, forgiveness. And some have said that they will also be enough for his reward for night prayer. And they will dispel his fears. They will dispel his stress, his worries, his anxieties. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that these two verses are not recited in a house for three nights, except that shaitan will not be able to come close to it. So fortify yourself, fortify your home and the people within your home by reciting these verses every night. Make it a point to memorize them and recite them regularly. What are these verses? آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. The messenger has believed in what was revealed to him from his Lord. And so have the believers. Subhanallah. Allah accepts their iman. The iman of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The iman of the companions. This iman is approved. What is it that they believed in? All of them have believed in Allah and His angels. As we learned at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen. And they also believe in his books and his messengers. As we learned at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. They believe in all of revelation. They say, we make no distinction between any of his messengers. So we see that this ayah covers all of the pillars of iman. The belief in Allah, the belief in His angels, in His books, in His messengers. But you might say, what about belief in divine decree? That is not mentioned over here. Why? Because that is actually a result of believing in all of this. And it is covered in the words, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And they say, we hear and we obey. You see, believing in divine decree is to accept the decrees of Allah, the decisions of Allah, both His religious commands and His decrees related to our lives. That whatever is happening, whatever is coming my way, my circumstances, all of this is by Allah's decree. So I accept it and I will do whatever my Lord has commanded me to do. But then you realize how imperfect you are. So, غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And to you is the final destination. There's no escape from you, except to you. So we see over here that before asking for forgiveness is asamr and ta'a, to listen and to obey. Then ask forgiveness. So this shows us that whenever we want to seek forgiveness, then before that, we should try to do something good. We should try to perform some act of obedience. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever performs wudu, as I have, and remember, making wudu is an act of worship, it's an act of obedience, and then he prays 2 rak'ah, without letting his thoughts wander, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. So when you want to seek forgiveness, precede it with some act of obedience. Sometimes the guilt of sins weighs heavy in the heart. You think about all the things you have done wrong in your past because of your ignorance and your foolishness, and you wonder, how do I fix that? This is how you fix that. You do something good. You pray 2 rak'ah. You beg Allah for forgiveness. Keep doing good. Keep seeking forgiveness. Allah says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not charge a soul except with that within its capacity. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. It will have the consequence of what good it has gained, and it will bear the consequence of what evil it has earned. Meaning a person is responsible for the choices that they make, because you reap what you sow. This ayah shows us that every command of Allah, whether it is of takalif kawniyya, meaning related to our worldly matters, or takalif shar'iyya, religious obligations, every decree of Allah is such that it is doable for us. Because the fact is that there is no one who knows us better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if He decides something for our lives, or if He commands us to do something, then it cannot be beyond our ability. It cannot be beyond our strength. But still, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, because la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power, no strength except with Allah. So we ask Him, we pray to Him, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. Our Lord, do not impose blame upon us if we have forgotten or erred, if we have made a mistake. We will obey You, but we also know that there will be times when we will forget and we will make mistakes on account of our ignorance, because we are khatta'un. We are those who err. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Our Lord, and lay not upon us a burden. What kind of burden? Obligations or restrictions. Like that which You laid upon those before us. Meaning, do not give us a burden that is difficult, like the one that was imposed on the people before us. Meaning, make our religion and Your decrees easy for us. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Our Lord, and burden us not with that which we have no ability to bear. Meaning, the trials of life, or commands in religion, or the impositions, and You make them easy for us. وَعْفُ عَنَّا, and pardon us. Erase and wipe our shortcomings. Erase our neglect. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا, and forgive us. Conceal our errors. وَرْحَمْنَا, and have mercy upon us. Do not humiliate us on the day of judgment. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا, You are our protector. You are all able to protect and help us, and we only have You to turn to. Anta maulana fansurna ala alqawm alkafirin. So You give us victory over the disbelieving people. Meaning, Ya Allah, help us against our internal hurdles and the external hurdles. So these verses show us that our ability is limited, that we are truly weak. And this is why we ask Allah to give us what we can bear. Remember, these du'as are actually accepted du'as. Because every time that the Sahaba recited one of these, we learn in hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded قَدْ فَعَلْتُ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ meaning done, done. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this religion easy. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this religion is al-hanifiyya, al-samha, the easy and gentle one. And we see this, that Islam is not such that it pushes us to the point of breaking in the name of grit, or in the name of resilience, or in the name of piety. No, the nature of Islamic law is such that when things become unbearably hard for people, the law provides them concessions. It lightens the burden from them. We see that if a person just intends to do something wrong, no sin is written for them until they actually commit the sin. If a person forgets or is coerced to do something wrong, again, they're not guilty of sin. If a person does something wrong out of ignorance and then they repent later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons them. And if a person is going through usr, through difficulty, Allah also gives them yusr. He also gives them ease. So these verses bring us hope. They bring us courage. We express our need of Allah in these verses. We express our dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses. And remember, these verses were gifted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the Mi'raj. So make their recitation a part of your routine, your nightly routine, so that you also get hope and courage, and you also connect with your Lord, and you also get the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran, just like Surah Al-Baqarah, has a lot of virtue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, learn the Quran, for it will come as an intercessor on the Day of Judgment. Learn Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. And he said, learn these two lights, for they will come on the Day of Judgment as if they were two clouds, or two shades, or two flocks of birds in rows, pleading for those who recite them. So we see that the knowledge, the recitation of these surahs is something that will be a means of protection for a person on the Day of Judgment. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Alif Lam Mim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no deity except Him, the ever-living, the sustainer of existence. He has sent down upon you, O Prophet, the book in truth, confirming what was before it, and He revealed the Torah and the Injil before as guidance for the people. So remember, the purpose of the book of Allah is to guide people. And He revealed the Furqan, the criterion. Indeed, those who disbelieve in the verses of Allah will have a severe punishment, and Allah is exalted in might, the owner of retribution. Remember, Allah did not reveal His books so that they're rejected by people, or that they're ignored by people, that people put them away and pretend as if they don't exist. If a person rejects the book of Allah, then there will be retribution from Allah also. Indeed, from Allah, nothing is hidden in the earth, nor in the heavens. It is He who forms you in the wombs, however He wills. So however you are, however someone is, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. So love the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, and do not criticize your physical form or the physical form of another. There is no deity except Him, the exalted in might, the wise. It is He who has sent down to you, O Prophet, the book. In it are verses that are muhkamat, that are precise, meaning they're clear in their meaning, and they contain clear commands. And these verses, they are the foundation of the book, meaning the majority of the Quran is like that. And such verses serve as the foundation for understanding the rest of the Quran. And then there are other verses which are mutashabihat, others that are unspecific, meaning verses whose meaning we cannot specify because Allah and His Messenger have not done so. For example, Alif Lam Mim, what does it mean? We do not know. So we should not obsess over these verses or these things that are mentioned in the Quran, nor argue and debate over them. But as for those people in whose hearts is deviation from truth, they will follow that of which is unspecific, meaning they obsess over them as if the entire religion is based upon them, as if the only thing that the Quran contains are these unspecific verses. Why do they do that? Seeking discord and seeking an interpretation, meaning that is suitable to them. And no one knows its true interpretation except Allah. But those firm in knowledge say, we believe in it. All of it is from our Lord, and no one will be reminded except those of understanding. What is their prayer? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Who say, our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you have guided us. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And grant us from yourself mercy. We are desperately in need of your mercy. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. Indeed, you are the bestower, the liberal bestower of gifts. So shower your gifts upon us. You are the giver. So gift us with guidance and steadfastness upon guidance, that we neither leave this path nor forget about it. Remember that the perseverance of the heart, which is mentioned over here in this ayah, this is something very, very important. Because if the heart is in the right place, if the heart is guided, then there is iman. And then a person's actions are also guided. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person's faith cannot be correct until his heart is correct. And his heart cannot be correct until his tongue is correct. The heart is the most important part of your being. It is the heart where taqwa is. At-taqwa hahuna. It is in the heart where decisions are made. This is why ask Allah to guide the heart. Allahumma hdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi. That, O Allah, guide my heart, correct my tongue, and remove rancor from my heart. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura. Ask Allah to fill your heart with light. That, O Allah, make light in my heart. Ask Allah to make your heart firm. Allahumma musarrif al qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. O Allah, the turner of the hearts, turn our hearts to your obedience. Ask Allah to clean the heart. Allahumma ghsil qalbi bima ithalji wal barad wa naqqi qalbi min al khataya kama naqqaita thawb al abyad min al danas. That, O Allah, wash my heart with water, hail and snow, and clean my heart, meaning remove all sins from my heart the way you clean a white cloth from stains. And remember that seeking forgiveness is something that cleans the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is at times some sort of shade, like a cover, you know, some kind of shade upon my heart. And I seek forgiveness from Allah 100 times a day. So seek forgiveness and clean the heart. Pray to Allah to protect you from the evil of your own heart. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri sam'i, wa min sharri basari, wa min sharri lisani, wa min sharri qalbi. O Allah, protect me from the evil of my heart. Wa min sharri maniyyi. Ask Allah to protect it from becoming hard. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa', wa min du'a'in la yusma', wa min qalbin la yakhsha'. That, O Allah, protect me from a heart that does not fear you. Ask Allah to adorn, to beautify your heart. Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. That, O Allah, make iman beloved to us and adorn our hearts with iman. And ask Allah to make your heart sound. Wa as'aluka qalban saliman wa lisanan sadiqan. And I ask you for a sound heart and a truthful tongue. And when someone is hurting in their heart, whether it is anxiety that is bothering them, or depression that they're suffering from, or an unhealthy love, an unhealthy attachment that they have developed, then pray for them also. Allahumma shfi qalbah. That, O Allah, heal his heart. Washfi saqmah. And cure his illness. Allahumma hdi qalbah. That, O Allah, guide his heart. Allahumma shfi qalbah. O Allah, cure his heart. Our Lord, surely you will gather the people for a day about which there is no doubt. Indeed, Allah does not fail in his promise. Indeed, those who disbelieve, never will their wealth or their children avail them against Allah at all. And it is they who are fuel for the fire. Theirs is like the custom of the people of Fir'aun and those before them. An example is given from history. They denied our signs, so Allah seized them for their sins, and Allah is severe in penalty. So we should fear Allah, lest we are caught because of our sins. Say to those who disbelieve, you will be overcome. the disbelievers who came to Badr to fight the Prophet ﷺ are being warned over here. That just as you were defeated in Badr, in no time you will be completely defeated and gathered together to hell, and wretched is the resting place. Already there has been for you a sign in the two armies which met, one fighting in the cause of Allah and another of disbelievers at Badr. They saw them to be twice their own number by their eyesight. So at Badr, what happened is that each side viewed the other as twice their own number. So the Muslims actually saw the Meccans as only 600 or so. And this uplifted them. And the Meccans saw the Muslims as 2,000. And this frightened them. But Allah supports with His victory whom He wills. Indeed, and that is a lesson for those of vision. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Beautified for people is the love of that which they desire. Meaning these desirable things are made beloved to people. What are these desirable things? Of women and sons, heaped up sums of gold and silver, fine branded horses and cattle and tilled land. That is the enjoyment of worldly life. A source of some enjoyment just right now. But Allah has with Him the best return. So this love, which is in the hearts of people, is there, but it is actually a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create our hearts void of any feeling, void of any love. No, this love and this attraction for pleasure, it will be there, but it is a test. That are you going to get lost in it, or are you going to prefer Allah? Are you going to just enjoy these things, or are you going to use them in pursuing the pleasure of Allah? Say, shall I inform you of something better than that? قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. These things are great. And enjoying them, liking them is not something bad. But what is problematic is that a person thinks that they're everything. And so he makes them his ultimate goal. And he gets immersed in enjoying them and does not look forward to what is better. And what is that? What Allah has saved for the hereafter. Remember, to get to the higher levels of Jannah, some desires need to be curbed. Some desires need to be disciplined. The Prophet ﷺ said, what I fear for my nation is three things. And of them is desire that is followed. And he also said, the sweetness of this world can be bitterness in the hereafter. And the bitterness of this world can actually be sweetness in the hereafter. So remember, this world is not everything. There is something much better. And what is that? For those who fear Allah will be gardens. Gardens that are eternal. In the presence of their Lord, beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally, and purified spouses and approval from Allah. So no one will be single in Jannah. And Allah is seeing of His servants. Who are they? Those who say, our Lord, indeed we have believed. So forgive us our sins and protect us from the punishment of the fire. Who are these fortunate people? As-sabirin, those who are patient, those who are true, the obedient, those who spend in the way of Allah, and those who seek forgiveness before dawn. Amazing. They get up before Fajr and seek forgiveness from Allah. So we should compare ourselves to the characteristics that are mentioned over here. That do I possess them? What's the first one? As-sabirin, those who are patient. Ibn al-Qayyim said, there are three forms of patience. One, over commands, so a person fulfills them. Second, over prohibitions, so a person avoids them. Third, over decrees, so a person does not get upset because of them. Then, was-sadiqeen, those who are truthful. Qatada said, they are those who are true in their intentions, in their actions, in their hearts also, and their tongues, they're upright, who are good in private and in public. This is truthfulness. This is honesty, that a person is not two-faced. Wal-qanitin, those who are devoutly obedient, that whatever Allah commands them with, they do it. How? With humility and consistency. وَالْمُنْفِقِينَ, and those who spend, meaning they spend in the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them, on relatives, on those in need, in the way of Allah. وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, and they seek forgiveness at the time of dawn, because they realize their sins. And this shows us the importance of seeking forgiveness before dawn. This time is very important. This is the time when Allah descends to the lowest heaven and He asks, who is there who will call upon me so I will answer him? Who is there who will ask me so I will give him? Who is there who will seek forgiveness from me so I will forgive him? And this continues until Fajr. So seek forgiveness at that time. Allah witnesses that there is no deity except Him, and so do the angels and those of knowledge, that He is maintaining creation in justice. There is no deity except Him, the exalted in might, the wise. Indeed, the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. And those who were given the scripture did not differ except after knowledge had come to them. Why? Out of jealous animosity between themselves. And whoever disbelieves in the verses of Allah, then indeed Allah is swift in taking account. So if they argue with you, say, I have submitted myself to Allah in Islam, and so have those who follow me. And you say, to those who were given the scripture and to the unlearned, have you submitted yourselves? And if they submit in Islam, then they're rightly guided. But if they turn away, then upon you is only the duty of notification. And Allah is seeing of His servants. Those who disbelieve in the signs of Allah and kill the prophets without right and kill those who order justice from among the people, give them tidings of a painful punishment. They are the ones whose deeds have become worthless in this world and in the hereafter. And for them there will be no helpers. Do you not consider those who were given a portion of the scripture? They are invited to the scripture of Allah that it should arbitrate between them. Then a party of them turns away and they're refusing, meaning they don't want to see what the book of Allah says. They don't want to know. This behavior is a result of what reason? This is because they say, never will the fire touch us except for a few numbered days. And because they were deluded in their religion by what they were inventing. So how will it be when we assemble them for a day about which there is no doubt, and each soul will be compensated in full for what it earned, and they will not be wronged? قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say, O Allah, owner of sovereignty, تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give sovereignty to whom you will. So if someone has any power, any sovereignty, any level of ownership, it is Allah's favor upon them. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And you take sovereignty away from whom you will. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You honor whom you will and you humble whom you will. In your hand is all good. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. Indeed you are over all things competent. So remember, good is from Allah. خَيْر is from Allah. So any ability or opportunity to do good that a person has actually been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should ask Allah to use us in good work, to give us more and more opportunities of good work. You cause the night to enter the day, and you cause the day to enter the night. Such a massive change, so consistently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes to happen. And you bring the living out of the dead, and you bring the dead out of the living, and you give provision to whom you will without account. Let not believers take disbelievers as allies rather than the believers. And whoever of you does that has nothing with Allah except when taking precaution against them in prudence. And Allah warns you of Himself, and to Allah is the final destination. Say, whether you conceal what is in your chests or you reveal it, Allah knows about it, and He knows that which is in the heavens and that which is on the earth, and Allah is over all things competent. The day of judgment, that day is not far, when every soul will find what it has done of good present before it, and what it has done of evil. It will wish that between itself and that evil was a great distance. Imagine when the records will be laid open and our deeds will be on display. A person will be so embarrassed. He will wish to be far away from his sins, from his deeds. He will wish for his sins to be removed from him. But the time to remove them is now. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. And Allah warns you of Himself. And Allah is رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. He is kind to His servants. Subhanallah. Fear Allah and also have hope in His kindness. Because remember, iman is supposed to be between fear and hope. Any extreme is unhealthy, so remain in the middle. So this is a warning. And who fears Allah? Who is it that develops the fear of Allah? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah tells us that it is those who have knowledge among His servants who actually fear Him. So the more a person knows Allah, the more they fear Allah. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمْ كَانَ لَهُ أَخْوَفْ. And who is true in their claim of loving Allah? Allah tells us, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, if you should love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. What will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Then Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. What you fear will be removed from you. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Amazing. Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually a proof of a person's love for Allah. Everyone claims to love Allah, but the real proof of that is in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if a person does not do that, then their claim of loving Allah is actually false. Why follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because he did whatever Allah commanded him. He did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. There is nothing that is beloved to Allah. There is nothing that Allah loves His servants to do except that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. He encouraged that. He taught that. So when we will follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will automatically be doing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And remember, you show love to someone by doing what they like, not what you like. Loving Allah means doing things that Allah loves, not what your heart desires. And this love that we have for Allah is not just about singing songs in praise, or kissing the Quran, or kissing a pendant that has God's name on it. No, this love is to be expressed through action, through obedience. We see that once some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Bahrain. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu, they ran to catch the wudu water that fell from him. So whatever they managed to catch, they drank it. And whatever they couldn't catch and it fell on the ground, they wet their hands with it and wiped their hands over their faces and their heads and their chests. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, "What made you do this?" They said, "Love for you, that perhaps Allah will love us, O Messenger of Allah." Meaning, we did this out of love for you because we hope that when we will love you, Allah will love us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you truly love that Allah and His Messenger should love you, then guard three qualities. Do three things." He told them about three things that they could do, action points. And what are they? Sidqul hadith, be truthful in speech. Secondly, ada'ul amana, fulfill your trusts. And thirdly, husnul jiwar, be a good neighbor. Because hurting the neighbor erases good deeds as the sun erases snow. قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Say, obey Allah and the Messenger. But if they turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Then indeed Allah does not like the disbelievers. Why would He like those who turn away from His beloved? So remember, the love of Allah necessitates obeying Allah. It means we must obey Allah and we must obey the Messenger of Allah. So those who do not obey the Messenger, then Allah does not like them. So we need to check, how is it that we respond to the commands of Allah and to the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?